Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome in to today's show, number 189. For the Wash Up Walk-Ons, so glad that you guys are here. Today we talk about two topics: Iowa basketball on a two-game win streak, trying to find their footing with two solid wins over the past 5 days, and of course the Chris Doyle hire and resignation news that happened over the weekend. We talk about it all. Sit back, relax, let's have a day. Again, so glad you're here. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk On fans. Episode 179 of the podcast.
89.
Today we've got 189 of the podcast. I know it was a nine. Today we have very little new news to talk to you about from the Iowa football front necessarily. But what we do get to talk about is my guy Joe Wieskamp being the best player in the Big Ten when he wants to be, the most efficient scorer that the Big Ten has to offer. Iowa Hawks are back. They're on a little bit of a losing skid. You just had to keep the faith in them. You had to keep the faith that the boys were going to get their shit together. They were going to figure out how to play some more cohesive team defense. They were going to figure out how to be the most efficient that they can be offense. And I'll tell you what, if Luka's shooting 65% and Joe's shooting 65%, the Hawks can't be beat. On that note, Kluver, let's get into it.
We left off on... We recorded Wednesday night. You guys heard that Thursday or over the weekend, talking about how the Hawkeyes were just starting their basketball game against Rutgers and how they needed to put their foot in the sand. And at least so far in the last two games, they've done that. The offense has come alive. The defense has picked up. Luka Garza only scored 8 points in the win against Michigan State yesterday, as we record this on Sunday. First game, he hasn't scored double digits in, I think, like 2 years. But it didn't matter because Iowa put on an absolute clinic and did something that they have never done to Michigan State at Michigan State. They beat him by 30, which is, quite honestly, insane. The game against Rutgers was a nice little bounce back. Again, we had talked about it. They lost 4 out of 5. Had a nice return. Wieskamp went off. I think what I said in that podcast on Thursday was we have to have somebody with that killer instinct. Somebody has to step up and just put the foot down and say, this is enough is enough. Like, I'm going to go play. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to take over. We have that.
The kid's leading the team in scoring over the past 3 weeks. And yeah. I know that Luka is typically our number one scorer, and probably for this team to be best, Luka has to be our number one scorer, because in the long run, he's going to be the most efficient. Like, for Joe to shoot 65-70% every game is just impossible. Shooters can't do that.
Right.
But I mean, in stretches, man, if this kid gets hot, just get him the ball because he is en fuego.
Do you think that's true? Because I almost think that with what they did yesterday, 88 points, held Michigan State to 58 points, Michigan State didn't shoot all that great, of course. And you mentioned Iowa's shooting percentage just outside of what Guy Fieri would call out of bounds. I watch a lot of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. But if they play like that, and I know it's not realistic, but maybe Luka having to be the guy that scores the most points isn't necessarily the case. Is he going to most of the time? Yes, because of, like you said, that percentage wise, he from the inside dunks, layups, he's going to be the most efficient. But I don't
know. Not to mention he's an above 40% 3-point shooter, and his mid range game is like Tim Duncan esque.
Yeah, the fact that his 3-point shooting statistics are a wild ride in their own. It's dumb. I mean, he's put in the work. You saw it all summer, but maybe Joe Wieskamp can be the leading scorer on this team. Maybe Joe scores 25, Luka scores 22 a game, and that's the winning combination. Now, I don't think that there's ever a point total where you're like, well, if this guy scores this much, this guy scores this much, they're going to win. But
Joe can definitely be the leading scorer. Like you hear the way the analysts talk about him and things like that. Like he's absolutely an NBA player, and a surefire NBA player can certainly be the leading scorer on any Division I team. But I mean, we have the national, I'm calling him the national player of the year last year. I don't give a fuck that Obi Toppin won it. So we've got basically the back-to-back national player of the year playing the position that you can single-handedly dominate the most in college basketball. And I just feel like we would be doing our team a disservice if Luka wasn't the leading scorer, but more the leading toucher of the ball.
Yeah. I think that's the key here, is as long as we're working it to him and he's opening up space, like I talked about last podcast, because actually in theory, defensively, if you want to shut Luka down, it's much easier to do that and in hopes that our 3-point shooters go cold than it would be to shut all the 3-point shooters down, but leave Luka one-on-one and hope that Luka goes cold. So there actually is a formulation there where, again, the other team is really basing it on luck and hoping that J-Bo, Wheezy, if CJ's in the game, you're on mute talking.
My fault. That's in theory what the most dangerous part about our team is.
Right.
Is that we have that person that you have to double team down low, or he will wreck every single game that he's in.
Right.
And then we have the efficiency at scoring, at 3-point shooting, to back it up. Like, that's why I've been so excited about this team, is because there isn't an answer to how to stop them on defense as long as they play well.
Yeah. Which is a little bit, it's going to be a wild ride in the postseason, because, like you said, if the offense is hot, then even if almost regardless of the defense, if the offensive is hot, we're in every game.
Listen, man, we're the most dangerous in the postseason, because if we get our confidence up in the Big Ten tournament and we beat an Ohio State, we beat a Michigan, hopefully we win the Big Ten title. The Hawks haven't been able to pull that off in a while, but like, we have that type of team. If we win the Big Ten tournament, imagine I know Brady Ross thinks that momentum is fake, but think about the momentum that they've got as a team and the confidence that they got going into the tournament to play teams who likely did not play them this year, mm-hmm. have only been able to scout them for 24 to 48 hours. They don't understand what's coming. They don't know what Luka offers. They don't actually know how to defend our offense. Like, we're really dangerous in the tournament against all the other conferences.
Yeah, I agree. That point of a short scout, that's tough. That's really tough. Like, going 1 week to 1 week, it's going to be where the other team throws on the film and they say, well, if this team shoots like they're capable of, we're fucked. I mean, we're fucked. That's all it is. That's the scout. So it's almost like the opposing team in the tournament, their game plan has to be, we're going to take a leap of faith. We are absolutely going to play the most aerobic game we've ever played. We don't care how our offense looks. we have to do everything we can defensively to slow this team down and hope that they go cold and then just squeak out enough. Now, some teams have enough firepower on the other side to run with the Hawks, play them tough defensively, force bad shots on our side, and then also be offensively potent. But
you have to be really deep if you're going to run with the Hawks in the postseason. Deep. We're playing at least 9 players. I think Fran's comfortable going all the way to 10 on his bench with the freshmen. That's insane. Like, that's 50 fouls and a whole lot of fresh legs.
Yeah. Highlighted by Nunji and Pat McCaff absolutely balling out from the bench the last couple games.
Nunji is potentially like sixth man of the year quality type player. Like, he might be the best bench player in the country.
18, 11, and 6 yesterday, had the best stat line of across the board of anybody.
And if you just watch Nunji play on the offensive and defensive glass, he is so important to this team.
Yep.
Because, I mean, Luka can't play every minute. And if we're being honest, Nunji is a much better rebounder than Luka is because he's just a better athlete. And he has more gas because Luka's up and down running the floor, trying to get open every single offense possession. Like, Nunji as an interior player for us on the glass specifically is like huge.
And Patrick McCaffrey, he has really shown that like young guy growth in confidence. I mean, he's taken it to the rack and doinking on people.
Yes, dunking two-handed every time. I love that Patrick McCaffrey drive the baseline and dunk two-handed. That's a kid who, I mean, he's battling back from cancer. Like, he was 6'9", 100-and-nothing pounds, and now he's like worked himself back. It's really a pretty heartwarming thing to see.
It's insane. Like, that is an insane story. So the Hawks are rolling, and it's good to see. It's good to hit it right around this time of year. Hopefully that momentum continues and we roll through the rest of the season like that. Obviously, that's yet to be determined. That's Iowa basketball for the day. Good to watch a couple wins over the last 4 or 5 days. The other bit of news in this podcast that we're going to cover quickly before we let you guys go is a shitstorm of...
Shout out to Urban Meyer, though. You know, we talk a lot of shit about Urban Meyer, and I don't think that this at all had to do with Urban Meyer. So shout out to Urban today.
Really interesting dynamic situation here all around. Coach Chris Doyle has been, you know, behind the scenes for the last 8 months after he left the University of Iowa based off of racial allegations. You know, I personally wasn't sure what I thought of his timeline and when I thought he would be back, if he would be back. Knowing the guy personally, which 99% of the voices in this conversation online don't, knowing the guy personally, he's a guy who just, I mean, when you run that Iowa schedule where you're at the facility at 6 a.m. and you're, I mean, it's every day. Those coaches, not just position coaches, but those strength coaches, they don't have lives. I mean, they dedicate everything to the program. Going from all of that to waking up every day and you just don't have anything to do, didn't think that that would really sit with Coach Doyle. And I'm sure he found things to do, but I just seemed like a kind of guy that needs to be doing something. And what a situation that is. I mean, can you imagine how hard it is to start throwing your resume at job openings with the shit that you went through?
So here's where I stood with Coach Doyle on the NFL. I was a little bit surprised to see that it was initially with an NFL team, just because of how I know NFL players to be. Like, the NFL mindset does not fit with the slight edge mindset. You know what I mean? They're not in there grinding their balls off in the squat rack anymore. Right. They're preserving their body. Like, I know a lot of NFL guys that are now basically transitioning to only unilateral and pushing sleds and things like that, rather than getting in the squat rack and hurting themselves. So like in that way, I don't know how great of a fit it is, because like NFL guys just flat out do their own shit, and you can't do your own shit in that type of program. And I mean, we came to learn that from a little bit deeper perspective throughout our whole shitstorm of a conversation topic that we had for those months. But I don't know, man. I agree with you that the guy just shouldn't be unemployed. He means too much to the strength and conditioning industry as a whole to be unemployed. And I don't, yeah, like I said, I don't know if it's the NFL is necessarily the best fit, and we can discuss that. Yeah. But
I really interesting topic. Mia O'Brien. Don't know who she is. Evidently she reported on Iowa Sports maybe at some point years back, maybe like during our time, I believe. And now is somehow has made it to Jacksonville, where she is a local reporter for Jacksonville sports. She was on Twitter tweeting stuff, and she actually, I don't know how she found me, but she had actually reached out and said, "Hey, would you mind speaking on Coach Doyle getting hired from a former player perspective and what your experience was with him?" And that's a really weird spot to be in, because to some extent it's not about me. It feels weird.
General managers ask questions to find the right players. Like, do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to make sure you find the right candidates with the skills you need. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. And with Indeed assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to help make sure you're finding applications from people with skills you need. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Talk about coach. It's just a hard kind of situation to explain, like why bring myself into it. But on the other hand, I feel almost the obligation, like, well, she's reaching out to me for a reason. We are a voice in the Iowa community. Not only that, but we played directly under this guy for 5 years. And to some extent, and cancel me if you want, cancel culture.
To mention, all of us have quite a bit of respect for the guy for what he helped us do in our careers.
Right. And that's what I'm getting to. Cancel me if you want. And we're going to get to cancel culture and what that is. And if this is an application of that, I personally feel that at some point, and not for everything he did, because if you feel triggered during this podcast, just go, please listen to episode 123 and then episode like 127 with James Daniels and Lomax, because again, we're on their side. I'm on their side. But Coach Doyle isn't just this guy where you open up his DNA and he's 100% bad. And that's what he's been painted to be. He isn't some bigot tyrant who walked into the Iowa strength program every single day with a racist agenda, and that's all he cared about, like people now love to paint him to be. That's not how it was. As much as like the mystery of, oh, what was it like inside those walls all these years? That's what was going on. It wasn't like that. That's not what it was. To some guys, on occasion, they felt like he was insensitive to them, or in several aspects, directly prejudice. But it's not like he would get up in front of meetings and talk in like he's the director of the Klan or something. Like, it just wasn't that way. And if you read Twitter nowadays, social media, I mean, obviously we understand that that's just what Twitter becomes, because there are no repercussions. Anyone on earth can get on, from Jacksonville to Ohio State to Iowa to some guy in Spain could get on and talk shit about Chris Doyle. And all they
Ohio
know
is State better not be saying shit, because all they're talking is about how sore their booty hole is still from 2017. They better not be saying a damn word.
And was some, and I was going to, and so when I saw the initial hire, you know, a lot of people sent that to me, obviously. And I was like, awesome. Good for him. Like, that's cool. He gets to restart, you know, he gets to start rewriting the chapter, a new chapter in his book of life. And I was happy. And then almost immediately, and I'll pull it up here. The Jaguars released a statement that Chris Doyle has come to us tonight and resigned. He doesn't want to be a distraction and didn't think that it would be this, basically cause this much of a stir. And so what I basically got from the internet, or people that were trying to at least have positive conversations other than just getting on and saying racist as fuck, this guy sucks, this, all this stuff, like all the not productive stuff that was put out
about all of the things that take absolutely no brain cells, and it just shows your lack of ability to decipher information.
Right. So anybody who was having real conversation, what I got was, it was a mixture of three things. It was too soon. It was failing upward.
Which, by the way, Kluver, you and me can talk about too soon. Fuck too soon.
Yeah, I've got thoughts. It was too soon. He was failing upward. And I think the failing upward kind of encompasses two things. So it was too soon and he was failing upward. And I'd love to talk about both. First of all, too soon. And the assumption there is, Chris Doyle needs some amount of time, some arbitrary amount of time to, I don't know, in everyone's going to have some kind of version of what they want him to turn into or change into. What is that amount of time, right? I mean, the man's 50 some years old. What is it, 5 years? What is it, 10 years? What amount of time now makes Chris Doyle not racist? Which, by the way, do you know the guy? Were you there? I love when people say, because
in the court of law, do they just take one person's story? Like, does every story just get accepted as facts?
In today's world, with the pressure that social media can put on an organization, it's guilty until proven innocent, man.
Which is asinine, dude. Look at the fucking court of law that we are all underneath, that we all trust with our entire lives. And in that situation, you're innocent until proven guilty. And in very severe matters, you have to be overwhelmingly, unequivocally guilty.
Right.
And here this guy is getting still crucified, trying to move on with his life, still getting crucified over, a guilty until proven innocent.
Now, was Coach Doyle hard on us? Yes. Was he hard on his players? Yes. Did he ask a lot? Yes. Did he ask more than he should have, maybe a time or two? Yeah. Probably.
And did my guy go over the line a few times? Certainly.
Yeah.
But guess what? I've gone over the line many times too. And nobody's trying to fucking put me in a body bag.
Did he say some things that were racially insensitive? Yeah, probably. Yeah. We went over that. We've been over that. Okay. As you sit here, if you're one of those people who tuned into this podcast, because I know there'll be several, if you're one of these people who tuned in to hear the former white players who are on Chris's side talk about how nothing went wrong with Chris, he wasn't perfect. But as you sit there and listen, does your life look pure and white? Have you done everything right in your life? You know, you never said anything that was offensive to anybody, especially in a sense of, I think people forget he was in. Yes. It sounds wrong that it's an excuse that he was trying to motivate his players and get the best out of them. But when he was doing these things, he was trying to, it was his way of trying to individually motivate each person. and in some sense get the best out of people. I wrote a statement that I almost put out on Twitter that I decided not to because I thought it would just cause too much shit. And again, people would just be able to throw that around, retweet it. And part of the statement was there a change in culture that was needed at Iowa? Yeah, probably. After I reflected on it over the last, like most guys who went to Iowa reflected over the last 8 months, there was some racially insensitive stuff that was in place from 1999. It's just the way they ran the program and no one ever really changed anything. And with how progressive time goes on at like how things change over time, culture and the feeling in the room has to change with it. And those things weren't linear in the sense of Chris Doyle and Iowa and the way that program felt. And it should have been, right? Earrings, wearing your hair a certain way and not getting called out for it. Like those things, not a big deal anymore, or should have ever been, but you know, it was the way things were. And now there's another way that things are. However, Coach Doyle, I get this feeling that people think that he, like, you know, if one of the black guys did something good, he just turned his head the other way and didn't celebrate. And I can count on, it would take a million hands to count the times that Coach Doyle celebrated, regardless of color, a guy for him hitting a PR or doing great in the classroom or just being a great guy or making a great play on the field. Black or white, didn't matter. Saw him celebrate with everybody. And so I was going to post that to Twitter and I didn't. We come back to this time thing. What's the amount of time, Mr. Twitter mob? Like, is it 1 year? When do you feel that since you're the qualified ones now, when does Chris Doyle deserve another chance, right? It's just like such bullshit. And two, and this is something
I really hope people aren't trying to play the role of God and say that there are no second chances and things like that, because that's not anybody's choice to make.
And I would be willing to bet, and a few people were like, when I tweeted out like, oh, we'll talk about this on the podcast, a few people tweeted out like, well, we'd rather hear from your black teammates. Also, like, I'd love to hear what they think about him getting a second chance too. I would love to hear. I guarantee a bunch of those guys would say, yeah, Coach Doyle made some mistakes. He ran things a little off kilter than he should have, but he does deserve a second chance. You would be hard pressed in my mind to find any guy who even spoke out who would come to you right now and say, fuck that guy to the moon. He deserves to rot in hell forever. No one should ever hire him again. There might be a couple. Maybe the guys on the lawsuit.
Whoever Bobby Green and his bros
Yeah, Bobby Green and the squad. So the other one was, and I understand this one because people don't understand strength conditioning, but people see him moving from the University of Iowa to the Jaguars as failing upward, which in strength and conditioning is just not the case. A college job, a head college job, is more important. And this gets back to what Drake was saying about how NFL guys kind of do strength conditioning and worry about their bodies in the offseason. An NFL strength and conditioning coach, which, by the way, he wasn't even the head strength condition coach. That wasn't his title. He was going to be director of sports performance. So there was a guy who was going to be in his role that he was at Iowa alongside him. He wasn't even going to be head strength and condition coach. It was a different ordeal. He wasn't going to be making nearly as much money. Not even close, I would imagine, a fraction. So he's not, you know, he's not expanding his career there in any way. The NFL, because players have so much money, and you know, you look at George Kittle, he works with a private strength conditioning coach in the offseason. He's not even in San Francisco. He lives in a different place.
He lives as far away from San Francisco as you can possibly live in the United States almost.
Right. In the NFL, a strength and conditioning coach is the guide hand of a basketball. Not even. It's the pinky finger of the guide hand on a basketball when you shoot. It's not the same kind of coveted role as the head guy in a college program. You're just a sideshow. At Iowa, you're the main gig. It was KF and Coach Doyle. They ran that shit. In the NFL, no one gives a shit about you if you're the head strength and conditioning coach. Nevertheless, the sports and performance director. So he for those of you that, like, you know, that came here and want to hear us talk about, like, oh, he doesn't deserve that role. That's a step down. Like, that role in the NFL for the Jaguars is a step down from head strength conditioning coach for the Iowa football team. But people don't understand that. They see college to NFL, and the first thing they think of is, oh, if you're a college player, you'd love to be an NFL player. So if you're a college staff member, you probably would love to be a NFL staff member. And it's just not the same kind of advancement there. So my thoughts are, you know, obviously we're in defense of Coach Doyle here. Not of any
defense of him being able to get a second chance.
A second chance. Not in defense of anything that he did wrong. Was it in the end, was it obviously the right move for Iowa and him to part ways? Yes, clearly. But, you know, in another 6 months or a year, if he tries to get a job, does the mob come out again? I mean, does the mob just come out on this guy? Is cancel culture just a forever thing once you're a victim, where now Coach Doyle tries to go get a consult, like a strength conditioning volunteer consultant at some JUCO in the middle of Virginia as some random fucking job, and somebody tweets it out and the whole mob comes running back and they say, fuck this guy. He doesn't just, like, when does it stop? Right? Like, how many times do you get to get absolutely trashed, shit on by the social media cancel mob before you're allowed to have a job again? You know, it's kind of wild to me, but it's not at the same time, because people can tweet what they want. People don't know the whole story. And the vocal minority win. That's just,
they won in this case. That's for damn sure. They won in this case.
Kevin had a short comment about it, because he knew we were going to talk about this. I'll read that quickly for his thoughts. He said, Urban and the Jags knew that they'd get some backlash for the hire, so pretty shitty for them to back out right away like that. Doyle deserves another chance. So Kevin's obviously on the side of, he doesn't think that Coach Doyle just went in and said, I want to resign. He thinks there was probably pressure, or he's at least alluding to there probably being pressure from the organization, and then them mutually agreeing to just say that Coach made the decision on his own. It is interesting. And not only did they go after Coach Doyle, but they went straight after Urban. They're like, oh, of course Urban would hire Coach Doyle. He's all about, you know, doing things the right way, coming after the way he does things. Like,
I don't think any of Coach Urban's players have ever talked shit about him and really said anything other than that they love him. So,
yeah.
In that aspect, you would think that Urban would be a reasonably good judge of character, and you have to assume that he didn't make this decision in a hasty fashion.
He said, so, yeah, there was a couple. So his statement was, after asked about it before he resigned, I've known Chris for close to 20 years. Our relationship goes back to when I was at Utah. He was the number one strength coach. Meyer said of Doyle, who was at Utah in 1998 before moving to Iowa, he was doing sports performance before sports performance became a high priority in college. I've known him. I've studied him. We've had a relationship. This isn't part of this quote, but he also could have said, I watched his team kick our ass in 2017, so I know what he can do.
And like, listen, I hate Urban Meyer for some of his sleazy recruiting and college cheating tactics, because the teams that I was on were not part of those sleazy tactics of buying the best possible players in the country. But I mean, I think the guy's a pretty damn good football coach, and he's clearly pretty beloved in the whole football community. So if you got this guy, Urban Meyer, sticking up for you, I mean, it's got to mean something, or it should have, you know?
Yeah. He said, I vetted him thoroughly along with our GM and our owner. Feel great about the hire and his expertise at the position. Sports performance is going to be a high, high priority, as it really has been the last 10 years. Certainly at Ohio State it was, and that became, if not the most important, blah, 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 blah. And obviously there, you know, any black African-American person in sports media was basically, you know, here's what I want to end this with, basically, is a lot of messages after he got fired were, why does, and I saw multiple just random tweets about it too. Why don't people come to the defense of Chris Doyle on social media? I saw multiple, like, why aren't there any players that come to his defense that say he deserves a second chance? And to me, it's pretty simple, the answer to that question, if you break that down and actually think about it. Like, you have to understand. And Drake and I will most likely be crucified by somebody because we got on and talked about this for 30 minutes and defended Chris Doyle that he deserves a second chance. If a white guy comes out like one of us and says something about it and says basically what we're doing here and says, hey, Chris deserves a second chance. I was a part of the program. He was, you know, he wasn't for everybody. He stepped over the line a few times. He did some things he shouldn't have, but it doesn't mean that he doesn't deserve a second chance. Well, then that guy gets absolutely crucified and shit on because they're white, right? And anybody just looking at that from the outside perspective is like, Well, you're a white guy. So you know, your opinion doesn't matter, right? Like, you're not going to tell the truth. Now, I got a message that was like, why don't any of the former African-American players who did like Doyle come out and say anything? Can you imagine there's some act of like sides here. And if they come out and say, yes, Coach Doyle did some things that he shouldn't have, but I think he deserves a second chance. And one of the African-American players says that, now everybody on the side of fighting for the social justice and the racial equality goes and looks at them and says, dude, what the fuck? You're on our side. Like, why aren't you for the cause here? Which is a good cause. Like, they have a point. Like, why? So there's no point in a black guy doing it. And there's really no point in a white guy doing it. And there's nobody left, right? It's either black guys or white guys here in this situation. And so no one's going to stick up for Coach Doyle. And it's unfortunate because he's a good man who gives his fucking all. He works harder than most Americans.
Big facts. Big, big facts.
And, you know, crucify me. Cancel me. Take my quotes from this podcast and cancel me, all right?
Because, and I don't really think I said anything cancelable, but if you're going to cancel him, cancel me too, because I'm on the train.
I mean, we said multiple.
I'm on the second chance train.
Yeah, we said multiple times that he did stuff he shouldn't have done, but at some point, you got to get a second chance, right? And if you want to call us names or just washed up, you know, use our self-deprecation against us or say that we're talking on this just for this is a good one, that with the walk-ons are trying to stay relevant, go ahead. We don't give a shit. That's not what we're trying to do. You can't hurt me. And ironically, Coach Chris Doyle is a huge part of why you can't hurt me, because that guy made me more mentally and physically tough than, I mean, I'm a steel trap, brother. And so that's what I got to say. He deserves a second chance somewhere. He's probably going to have to ease in a spot where it doesn't seem like he is failing upward, even though that's not what it was in Jacksonville. If, you know, for those that know strength conditioning or the industry, and it's going to take obviously a few years for this to sort itself out. I don't know. That's all I got. It bends.
Dude,
you're
gonna have to tell me what the response.
Yep, I'm gonna. I'll send you the responses. I got it probably a little fiery there, but it hurts me that he got drugged through shit, and it hurt me that the players for 4 or 5 years had to deal with that as well. That some of the guys didn't feel comfortable, but it's not an eye for an eye here. Like, that's not how life works. You don't just, there's definitely no rule in life that says, okay, after these years of coach, you know, kind of letting it go, letting things get to a point where they shouldn't have been, now because he made mistakes, well, for the next 10 years of his life, everyone purposefully gets to get away with just absolutely sending him to the firestorm and there's no repercussion. So it sucks, but we'll see. I don't know where he ends up or how long it takes, but that's all I got. That's all I got. Anything else?
Nah, dude, I'm all out of fucks to give.
Yeah, I am too. 189. We've got a Super Bowl champion coming on in the next couple episodes. So stay tuned for that. We love you guys. Message me if you ever have any questions about the situation. I know basically everyone out there is like, hey, what are your thoughts on it? I'll respond.
Don't message me if you
don't message Drake because he doesn't have fucking Twitter.
And I will respond.
189. Have a great fucking week. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.